Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and April is National Foot Health Awareness Month, and we'll be talking with podiatrist Dr. Benjamin Willis on the program. Before we get started, I have a few announcements that I'd like to share. Each year we celebrate National Volunteer Week to recognize the contributions of our volunteers. This week is National Volunteer Week, and we are thrilled to host a special recognition event for our many volunteers at Van Deest Medical Center. It's a great opportunity to show our appreciation for the dedication of many individuals who give their time and talent to support our hospital and those volunteers who also support our communities in various ways. Whether greeting our patients and visitors, serving at the bedside, working in our gift shop, helping at community blood drives, offering assistance to seniors as they enroll in Medicare, our volunteers contribute in so many different ways, and we wish to recognize and celebrate them all. This is a time to encourage more people to get involved as well. If you like to help others and meet new people, if you want to get involved in the community, possibly develop new skills and strengthen existing skills, enjoy a rewarding experience helping patients and visitors, or want to make a direct impact on our local community, the volunteer program at Van Deest Medical Center is for you. We are looking to grow our volunteer program, and we are also looking for members to join our Patient and Family Advisory Council. If you are interested in learning more about these opportunities, I ask you to contact Ann Blankenship at 515-832-7767, or you can send an email to Ann at ablankenship@vandeestmc.org. We encourage you to consider the opportunity, join our volunteer team where you can make a difference in the patient experience at our hospital. I also want to announce, I have mentioned this in previous programs, we have a new licensed mental health counselor, Samantha Snowville, who has joined our behavioral health services team. Samantha has over 10 years of therapy experience and brings a full range of psychotherapy services to our clinic. Sam is offering both in-person and virtual appointments. You can schedule an appointment with Sam at Van Deest Family Health Clinic by calling 515-832-7800. And then I do want to mention we have a sale that's coming up next week. Wednesday, April 30th, our auxiliary is hosting a uniform scrub and clothing sale from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the clinic boardroom. And we do have an exterior door that is located along the sidewalk between the clinic and the hospital, so you can park in the west parking lot and enter through that exterior door. There will be 20% off all items. So the sale is not a fundraiser for the auxiliary. They have actually turned it into a 20% discount for all the shoppers as a thank you from them. And like I mentioned, there's clothing, there's shoes, there's special gift items, just lots of fun things to shop. So we hope you'll come out again and shop the uniform, scrub, and clothing sale next Wednesday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And with that, we're going to get started into our program today. As I mentioned, this month is National Foot Health Awareness Month. Joining us for today's program is podiatrist Dr. Benjamin Willis with Van Deest Family Health Clinic. He treats foot and ankle injuries as well as complications from ongoing health conditions such as diabetes. As a podiatrist, Dr. Willis diagnoses foot and ankle problems. He does surgeries, resets broken bones, and cares for sprains, infections, and injuries. Good morning to you, Dr. Willis.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on the program today. So as just like a brief introduction, I know you've been on the program before, but for our listeners today, maybe talk about what drew you into the field of podiatry and how you got started.
Sure. Yeah, I I was fortunate to be raised in a home where my father went back to medical school like later in life. And so I was exposed to medical things early on. I think I decided probably in elementary or junior high that I wanted to be a doctor at some point. I liked the idea of maybe, you know, achieving the highest level of education, seeing if I could get, basically proving it to myself that I could do it. And he ultimately became like a family practice doctor. It was great to have that exposure, but I also knew pretty early on that I didn't want to be a family doctor. I think like a family practice doctor, I was kind of drawn more towards orthopedic and surgical things. I even had the opportunity in high school to shadow an orthopedic doctor and see some joint replacement surgeries, and I thought that was just phenomenal. I thought that was great. So that was basically the spark. And then ultimately, as I got through college, I had a friend who's going into podiatry, and I asked him the same question that I'm asked now all the time, like, why podiatry?
Right? Why feet?
Why fight knee? Yeah, yeah. Feet and ankles, exactly. He started running through a list of things, like you can be your own boss, you can be as busy or as laid back as you want, you can be a family man. It seemed like everything that he mentioned was something that I wanted in a career. And so I shifted to podiatry pretty quickly, and it only took me like 8 years after that it takes a while to get through your training, but 7-8 years later, here we are, and now I've been in practice about 10 years. So
that's great. And I would say, especially with podiatry, you do have the opportunity to have the clinic setting plus the surgery setting.
Right.
And we'll be talking a little bit about that during the program too. Sure. But you do get to experience patients in both of those settings.
Sure.
Which is kind of nice.
You bet. I get bored easily, so it's nice to have a kind of variety throughout mm-hmm. my day. You know, I enjoy the variety for sure.
Definitely. So people don't always think about their feet until something hurts. Talk about why foot health is so important for overall wellness.
Sure. As a podiatrist, I mean, you're trained head to toe, right? I mean, you go through medical school, you go through gross anatomy head to toe, but then you get to specialize in feet and ankles. It's nice to be where I am and to be able to inspect or examine people. As you examine the foot and the ankle, there are indicators of, you know, systemic issues head to toe. I mean, you can pick up on vascular issues with the heart. There's been times that I've felt an irregular pulse through the foot and then referred them on to their, you know, primary care doctor. And ultimately they figured out that they had like atrial fibrillation and some of these conditions. So the feet really are kind of a reflecting pond of what's going on throughout the body to some mm-hmm. degree. The importance of foot and ankle health, I think, is very important, much more so than I thought, you know, when I was first entering into this field. It's been enlightening to learn about. And feet are very important to maintaining wellness. Certainly anybody that wants to be active and well needs to be on their feet a fair amount, right? Mm-hmm. You need to get your exercise in. I can tell you how hard it is for my patients that want to be active but have foot pain. And that's such a fun part of my job, is to have people come to me with foot pain, help them work through that, and then see them get healthier and happier and just overall have a better way of life. So it's a vicious cycle. When you want to be healthier and your feet hurt, and as a result you're more sedentary, and as a result of being sedentary you gain weight, which makes your feet hurt more when you stand mm-hmm. and walk on them. It's kind of the self-perpetuating mean cycle. So if you can stay healthy and stay on your feet and stay, you know, if you have current good foot and ankle health to maintain that, I think it's going to be helpful throughout your life.
You raised so many good points there, Dr. Willis, just talking about, you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't even realize how many things, like you say, by examining the feet, like things that can signal other things going on. Right. And, you know, we talk about on this program about how movement is life, movement is medicine. And to your point there, if, you know, our feet are involved with our mobility, and if people are struggling, having issues, and that prevents them from staying active, being mobile, that really does cut into their healthy lifestyle and many times, you know, goals that they have for their lives.
Even mental health, certainly. Mm-hmm. If you can't do what you want to do, it affects you.
Yes. So great time to be talking about our foot health and foot care. So talking about some common issues, we probably can't begin to cover all the foot and ankle problems that may exist. What are the most common foot problems that you see in your practice?
Sure. I would say it partially depends on the time of the year. As we transition mm-hmm. from like colder months to warmer months, it seems like whenever we change from either, you know, warm winter clothing And then closed shoes to maybe open-toed shoes and sandals. We end up getting, it seems like a kind of an influx of ingrown toenails, toe pain. Certainly as we're more active, traumatic things can happen. We stub our feet, we're participating in sports that can cause specific injuries. And also heel pain. I mean, heel pain, it doesn't matter what time of the year, it seems like we see a fair amount of heel pain. So ingrown toenails, to go back to that topic, if you suffer, and I actually had this personal experience in high school, first part of college, if you have an ingrown toenail, if you haven't experienced that, it's extremely painful. People that haven't had them don't fully understand how bad that can be. But there's a really simple, even elegant procedure that we do in the office that takes care of that. And so I've had people that come to me like months and years after the fact, and they've been suffering with it for this amount of time. Once they get in, and I really think waiting's the worst part. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these conditions can be improved upon almost immediately.
Well, there you go. That's some of the best information to share with people that are suffering out there. Don't wait. Call and get an appointment scheduled today.
Right.
So, flat feet. Flat feet or high arches. Can these affect your back or posture?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I always reference the song, you know, the foot bone's connected to the leg bone and on up. So certainly as we distribute weight, as we're walking, that force just from putting our heel down and the weight of gravity down also exerts pressure up. And so if your foot isn't in good alignment, if you don't have adequate support, if you have certain conditions or deformities, as we'd say, you know, the shape of your foot's irregular because of genetics or trauma, it certainly distributes that weight differently through your foot, your ankle, your knee, and all the way up into your back. So depending on your foot type and your support, it can certainly affect, you know, the structures farther up. So we call that biomechanics. Mm-hmm. You know, and the better that we can improve upon our biomechanics, the better we feel, and the less likely we are to get some of these other conditions like early onset arthritis and other painful conditions.
And some of that you probably can determine when you are meeting with a patient.
Sure.
By, you know, like as far as biomechanics, as you know, you see them maybe stand or walk.
Yeah, and frequently in the office we'll do like a gait exam if we need to kind of gauge how they're walking. There's that was a long course in medical school to learn, you know, the stages of the gait cycle and where things can go wrong. So also a lot of us walk around with tight calf muscles. It's a condition called equinus, and that contributes to where that pressure is distributed through the foot as we take each step. So that's something certainly that I can help evaluate, and if there's something faulty, we can oftentimes support or change the mechanics enough to improve upon that situation.
Great information. Great to know. So you did talk about support. This is a perfect time to, and I know patients, you probably get this question a lot. How much of a role do shoes play in foot health? And are there certain shoes people should just avoid?
Sure. I've got my opinions. I think maybe each podiatrist has their own opinions on that. But I would say to some degree, it really depends on the condition. I'm always a huge proponent of like good support and supporting the normal foot structure as much as possible. But everybody's structure is not the same. So typically enclosed shoes are more controlling. They provide better support. Once you take the roof off of a shoe, right, you get less support there. So you don't want shoes that are excessively flexible. I think I've mentioned this before. My kids always make fun of me. The first thing I do is I pick up shoes and I start twisting them and trying to fold them in half and just trying to gauge how stable they are. If you have a good stability shoe, and stability shoe is actually a term that you can go into your local shoe store with and say, I need stability shoes. And it's a type of family. It's a stable type of shoe. It doesn't twist a whole lot in the planes of motion that we evaluate for. And if you get a good stability shoe, frequently that's the first step. We can build inserts from there. In fact, I typically recommend over-the-counter inserts, but not all brands are created equal on that. So to go back to your question, I mean, I would avoid cheap, excessively flexible flip-flops. Those are probably the worst. Shy of going barefoot, mm-hmm. right? That's probably the worst. All those do, they protect you maybe from a little abrasion and, you know, walking on something sharp, but as far as support and contributing to some of the issues that you can have with your foot and ankle, they really don't help at all. So, and then one other point, people that have diabetes, it's absolutely critical that the people that have diabetes, especially if you have neuropathy with diabetes, that you're wearing diabetic shoes. and diabetic shoes will protect you. They'll support you. It's probably one of the number one things that you could do just to prevent some of the bad things that go along with diabetes and foot health. So
very good. Gosh, thank you for sharing. Let's talk about those that are active. Maybe it's people out running, walking, that experience something, say, like plantar fasciitis. What is that, and how can that be prevented?
Sure. Yeah, plantar fasciitis, the name comes from a structure that's inside our foot called the plantar fascia. The plantar fascia attaches to your heel, and it goes the length of your foot up to like the ball of your foot, just base of your at the base of your toes, but the underside. The plantar fascia is important in maintaining your arch, and so frequently, if you're not supporting your arch adequately, in some cases, injuries can lead to plantar fasciitis. Plantar fasciitis is a really painful condition. Usually, if you have pain first thing in the morning, like the first few steps, or let's say you take a afternoon nap and you go to get up and the first few steps are painful all over again, that's typically plantar fasciitis until proven otherwise, assuming that there hasn't been injury or some other reason for it. So preventing plantar fasciitis, again, it goes back to our discussion of support, good support. But also, if you feel like you're wearing good support, good shoes, good inserts, but you're still having heel pain, I would recommend being evaluated, because mm-hmm. if you have excessively flat feet or excessively high arches, both those can contribute to plantar fasciitis. So if you're doing what you think that you can and you're still having that, there's recommendations on stretching shoes, inserts, sometimes medication that we can prescribe.
Very good. All right. So if you're someone that is experiencing that, schedule an appointment.
Sure.
Come on in and let's take a look.
You bet. And with athletes, definitely what one thing that would be important would be trying to warm up first, right? If you're going from 0 to 90, it tends to affect the muscular skeletal system. So proper warm up before and after. If you're having heel pain, icing before and after. And again, if those things aren't working for you, come see me, because I can diagnose that and help you out quite frequently.
Very good. You touched on this just briefly, giving a recommendation for those who have diabetes to wear proper support. What should people know in addition to foot care if they're somebody that has diabetes?
Sure. Yeah, so diabetes is a tough condition. It affects all of our body systems, and certainly it affects our feet and our ankles as well. So there's different risk stratification. If you're diabetic and you have neuropathy, you're at a much higher risk for developing some bad situations like calluses that ultimately build to the point that the skin behind it breaks down. It's called a diabetic ulceration. A diabetic ulceration typically occurs because people can't feel their feet very well. And so for people that don't have diabetes or don't have neuropathy, they'll know if they've got a sore spot. They'll start to kind of augment or change the way that they walk. If you have numbness to your feet, you don't have that luxury. And so one of the main things that people that have diabetes can do is just check their feet on a daily basis. And it sounds perhaps oversimplified, but if you check tops and bottoms of your feet, you'll pick up on whether or not you've got a sliver, whether or not you've stepped on something, whether or not you've got a callus that's changing colors and starting to turn into a sore. For the individuals that can't check their feet very well themselves, either because of flexibility or vision issues, if they have somebody that they live with, have them glance at their feet, top and bottom. If it's a positional issue, try to hold a mirror up. Or I've mm-hmm. had people use like a mirror and try to, you know, angle it in such a way that they can see. But very simple. If you check your feet every day, that's going to help save you a lot of grief when it comes to diabetes, especially people that have diabetes with neuropathy. So it's those little daily efforts that really make all the difference.
Great tips there.
If you are high risk of diabetes, again, diabetes with neuropathy, if you've had an issue of either ulcers in the past or perhaps an amputation of part of your foot, the chance statistically of that happening into the future is pretty great. And so people that have active ulcers in their feet, frequently I see them and take care of that. We do care on every other week basis, right? Typically every 2 weeks we're seeing them, checking on the sore, making sure that it's sufficiently offloaded, that everything is in position to heal that wound. For people that don't have that issue but are at risk because of the numbness, typically every 3 months we like to see our diabetic patients back. When they come back, I usually ask that they don't trim their own nails, that they leave the calluses go, because if they trim their own, they it's very simple for them to cut themselves and not mm-hmm. know it, again, because of the neuropathy. So come back and see me every 3 months if you're at risk for, you know, bad things happening because of the diabetes with neuropathy. And then if you have a new diagnosis of diabetes, I'd recommend being evaluated. If you don't have neuropathy, but you do have diabetes, I'd say probably twice a year, every 6 months, you should be checked out on top of checking your feet every day, trying to get in these healthy habits that'll save you grief.
Oh, very good guidelines to share. You mentioned for our athletes to make sure that they're warming up before they go out, say for a run. Are there some other at-home tips or routines that you would recommend just for everyone to keep their feet in good shape?
Sure. Yeah. And this kind of goes back to my comment about being an advocate for good shoes and good support. I try to practice what I preach, and I stick with stability shoes. I stick with a good recommended over-the-counter insert, which is not Dr. Scholl's, by the way. Dr. Scholl's, everybody knows about them, but I typically don't like their inserts. I can make recommendations on that. But when I'm not wearing good shoes and inserts, I recommend good supportive either shoes or sandals at home. We talked about bad sandals, right? But mm-hmm. there are some good brands of sandals at home. So I'll typically slip off my good supportive athletic shoes and go into like a Birkenstock brand sandal. Birkenstocks are nice. They don't bend a whole lot. They don't twist. But again, it depends on your foot type. So if you have an extremely flat foot, you may not tolerate the traditional cork and leather Birkenstock very well. If you have some arch or moderate arch, typically that Birkenstocks actually feel better the more that you use them. Mm-hmm. So you kind of settle into the cork and the leather with time. So again, yeah, just when you get home, try to continue with good support. Some people are lovers of barefoot walking around their home. But that leaves you exposed to, if you've broken a glass in your house in the last 20 years, right? There's always a shard of glass.
Find that fragment,
so,
yeah.
Exactly. So another good point would be to alternate shoes, right? So try not to wear the same shoe every day for several reasons. You know, wear and tear on your shoes. If you're wearing the same shoes over and over, they wear out very quickly. Usually, if you're super active, and depending on your weight and activity level, usually 6 months. Six mm-hmm. months to a year is probably recommended for shoes. But from a fungal standpoint, right, fungal nails, athlete's foot, it's best to alternate between shoes to allow your shoes time to dry out in between. So a couple points there.
Very good. Yes, so for those listeners out there, they just heard and now they can say, well, I listened and Dr. Willis said I should alternate shoes, so I might have to do some shoe shopping.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes, they have doctor permission now to go get some shoes. Yes.
Dr. Willis approved. There you go. And I am a fan. I will say I alternate. I have different shoes that I use for walking versus running, and I'm very much an advocate for that.
Good. Mm-hmm. That works for you. Works for a lot of my great patients as well.
Most definitely. So you already talked about the shoe inserts, like over-the-counter shoe inserts. Let's kind of bust some myths here. So is it true that nail salons can sometimes cause foot infections?
Yes, I've seen that a couple times in my career. I wouldn't say that it's super frequent, but I've seen it several times where the technician may have gone a little deep. Also, I'm not sure what the standards are within nail salons as far as sterile instruments and those things. We always use, you know, autoclaved instruments, so there's nothing known to man that can, you know, live on the instrument after we send it through the machine. I'm not sure that you get that at a nail salon. So yeah, it's certainly come up a couple times in my career.
Okay, very good. You discuss this with patients that have neuropathy that maybe wouldn't have feeling in their feet. Just in general, true or false? If your feet don't hurt, they're fine.
I'm going to say false on that because you may have a condition. The absence of pain doesn't necessarily mean that you're on the right track as far mm-hmm. as support and issues down the line. So just because you don't have pain, that all that means is that you're pain-free, right? It doesn't mean mm-hmm. that you're doing things right. So again, going back to mechanics, biomechanics, if you've got certain conditions, I mean, bunions and hammer toes, we see those fairly frequently. If you have those conditions and you're not wearing good supportive shoes and the proper shoes, that can lead to early arthritis, that can lead to worsening of the condition and possibly need for ultimately having surgery. So that and I always say this, surgery is a great option, but it's the best option when it's your last option. We always mm-hmm. try to exhaust non-surgical, non-invasive things first. And if that works, perfect. If not, we gently take you through the next steps.
Very good. And because we did talk about the inserts, there are some that you would recommend that do help with pain, correct?
Yes, they help with support. And yeah, it depends on what the source of the pain is, for okay. sure. But yes, if you come in and you're having heel pain, right? Plantar fasciitis we were touching mm-hmm. on earlier, the three pillars of treatment of that condition, with very good outcomes, by the way. I mean, if you have plantar fasciitis, 90 to 95% of the time, you're going to get better with just conservative things. And so those conservative things, again, I usually have the three main pillars, which are shoes, inserts, and stretching. So it's certainly an issue with your calf muscle. More and more research is being done about the tightness of the calf muscle, that condition we call equinus, right? And if you have equinus, its effect on the foot in general. Equinus wreaks havoc with heel pain. And so if you can stretch, wear good support, and inserts consistently, almost always that takes care of plantar fasciitis. If that doesn't work, though, there's steroids by mouth that we can prescribe if there's no reason not to prescribe those. There's injections, and last thought would be surgery. But I haven't done a plantar fasciitis surgery for at least a year or two. I mean, it, like I said, almost always will get better with conservative means.
So that's great news yeah. for listeners.
Yes.
Yes. Let's make sure that we do take a moment to talk about the foot and ankle surgeries that you do. If you would maybe just share, we've talked about them a little bit throughout the program, but it is something that you do offer here at Vandy's Medical Center.
Yeah. Yeah. And surgery, it's something that I'm proud to be able to offer. It's something mm-hmm. that I enjoy doing, but only when the time and the place and the, you know, circumstances are right. Almost every condition has a surgical treatment option. But again, we got to walk you through the conservative care options first. And then frequently before surgery, if it's something like plantar fasciitis, again, you would start with support. You would move on to maybe an injection if necessary. If those aren't working, then we talk surgical options. Same thing with bunions and hammer toes. Frankly, there's not a lot of conservative things that you can do, but we look to shoes, we look to support, physical therapy in some cases, and then ultimately to surgery if necessary. But really any condition, like I said, there may be a surgical fix for that, but we won't use that unless we absolutely have to. Mm-hmm.
It's not the first route.
Not the first stop, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Foot disorders are among the most widespread and neglected health problems affecting people in this country. If there was one last thing that you would share on the program, what is the message you would offer to listeners to take better care of their feet?
I think it would just be to not wait. There's so much that can be done for whatever the foot and ankle condition is. I frequently have patients that are hurting, suffering. They're allowing their lives to be interrupted for a prolonged period of time because of this foot and ankle pain. I think maybe they're afraid of what the podiatrist would tell them.
Yeah, yes.
What it could lead to. But I can tell you, and maybe I'm belaboring the point, but there's so much that can be done that's not surgery. There's so much that can be done to get you relief almost immediately. So it's not nearly as scary as you might think. Mm-hmm. So come to me. I think I'm an approachable person.
Extremely.
Good. If a patient comes to see me, hopefully I can make them comfortable and educate them on options. If they're educated and doing these things, like I said, I'm fairly certain that we can get relief and get a good outcome.
Absolutely. Great information shared. I do want to let listeners know we're very fortunate to have a full-time podiatrist at Vandy's Family Health Clinic seeing patients. So if you have questions or would like more information, want to schedule an appointment, appointments can be made with Dr. Willis. You can call Vandy's Family Health Clinic at 515-832-7800, or you can schedule online. Go to vandeastmc.org and you can find Dr. Willis and find the first available time that he has in his schedule. So I also do want to mention, as Dr. Willis shared, he is doing surgeries. He does those here at our hospital. Great, again, to have a podiatrist on staff here. So Dr. Willis, I do want to thank you for being on the program today and for all the wonderful services that you do offer.
Well, you bet. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, where our focus is you.